Do you feel as though a storm has taken over your life? Have you recently been faced with unemployment, a sudden illness, or some other painful event? Jesus and his disciples were sailing across a lake when an unexpected storm blew in. The storm was so strong that even these experienced sailors feared for their lives. They frantically came to Jesus, who was asleep in the boat. Sometimes we feel Jesus doesn't care about the danger in our lives, but he does care. Jesus is able to calm our storms just as he calmed the disciples' storm at sea. Welcome to Every Last Word, a radio and internet program with Dr. Philip Ryken, teaching the whole Bible to change your whole life. We're continuing our study in the book of Luke. Today, we'll see Jesus' power over nature and how that can bring us comfort when our own lives seem to fall apart. Phil, what should we do when we're overwhelmed by the problems in our life?
Well, Mark, sometimes you ask me some pretty tough questions, but I think that's an easy one. You know, when we're having problems in life, the thing to do is to turn to the Lord and ask for his help. And we get a wonderful example of that in today's message from Luke chapter 8. It's the story of the disciples in the boat on the lake with Jesus in the storm. And, you know, when we're having trouble, whether it's spiritual trouble, physical trouble, relational trouble, whatever it may be, we should do what the disciples do in this story, and that is to call upon the Lord for his help.
Well, in this story, Jesus asked the disciples, "Where is your faith?" How should this question still resonate with us today?
Well, Mark, that's a good question for us to consider. I think Jesus would have the same question for us a lot of times in our lives. And I think maybe it's what Jesus wants most from us is our faith, our trust and confidence in what he can do. And as we watch the disciples deal with their desperate situation, I think we almost see them crying out to Jesus as a last resort. And there's something kind of desperate about the way that they wake him up and beg him to do something for them. We don't need to be desperate even in a difficult time, Mark. We just need to trust the Lord to help us. Whatever problem we're having today, the thing to do is to call out to Jesus in faith.
Thank you, Phil. Turn in your Bible now to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, and let's hear God's word for us today.
There was something strange about the breeze. Not only its extraordinary heat, like the breath out of an oven, nor its uneasy, unsettled gusting, but something else that he could not define. Over in the west, there was a lowering murk, and all along the horizon, rising some 10 degrees, an orange bar too thick for cloud. "I do not know what to make of it," he said to himself. Of course, he reflected, they expect me to know what to make of it. A captain is omniscient. At this moment, a squall struck the Niobe, laying her over almost on her beam ends. As the ship righted, the captain recovered his feet, making his way through the tumble of chairs and papers and instruments. And the moment he passed the cabin door, he was enveloped in a fine scene of confusion, sailcloth threshing wildly, the wheel spinning round had broken the helmsman's arm and flung him against the rail. The booms and the boats were all abroad, and a ghostly sail, blown almost out of its bolt rope, streamed away to leeward. The situation was critical. Some were running about the forecastle, still more swarming up the main and fore hatchways. Many of those on deck clung to the running rigging. Another squall must lay her down, perhaps for good, certainly with great loss of life. Well, thus Patrick O'Brien describes a storm at sea in one of his splendid novels about the British Navy. Even for an old sea captain, a sudden squall can be a terrifying experience, bringing not only chaos and confusion, but also the fear of death. Well, there was once a storm something like that on the Sea of Galilee. We read about it in the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel at the 22nd verse. And we see from the opening words of this account that, like so many stormy adventures at sea, this particular voyage started calmly enough, with Jesus deciding to go out for a leisurely sail. Luke tells us, and I encourage you to turn here in your Bibles, one day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And at first the water was calm, as it generally is on the Sea of Galilee, and so they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. But then a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Now this was the kind of storm that sometimes churns the waters of the Galilee. Although the lake is usually calm, when the storms do come, they tend to be violent. One commentator explains that the lake lies at 700 feet below sea level, surrounded on a number of sides by mountainous regions, and cold air comes across the top and then sweeps down through the canyons and whips up the lake in a very short time. Galilee was the perfect place for a perfect storm. And this particular storm was as powerful as any that the disciples had ever seen. And you have to remember that Peter and John and Andrew and James were fishermen who had spent most of their lives on these very waters. And yet they had never experienced anything like this, a storm hitting them with such sudden and violent fury. And Matthew, in his account, implies that the storm struck without warning. A seaman would call it a squall, a sudden and violent gust of wind, usually accompanied by heavy rain. And of course, the disciples did everything they could. Their vessel was rising and falling through the swells, and it would rise to the top of one crest and then crash down through the water, almost, it would have seemed, to the bottom of the sea. And the boat was filling with water so rapidly that they were in danger of getting swamped. They pulled down their sails, no doubt. They began to bail for dear life, and yet they were still in danger. And soon they lost almost all hope of ever making it to shore. "We are perishing," they concluded, verse 24. And what a thunderous storm it must have been for salty old sailors like Peter and John to give themselves up for lost. And what a picture this is of the sudden and dangerous storms that threaten us as we sail through life. You know, going back to the Old Testament, the Bible sometimes compares the troubles of life to the perils of the sea. "Save me, O God," wrote the psalmist, "for the waters have come up to my neck. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up." What the disciples went through on the Sea of Galilee is something people have been going through since the time of the psalmist, something we all go through in life, seas of difficulty, storms of trouble. And so it happens, for example, that people lose their jobs or suffer some financial hardship and they get tossed by waves of worry. They receive an unfavorable diagnosis or struggle perhaps with some chronic illness and they are flooded with fear. They have painful interpersonal conflicts at home or in the neighborhood or in the family or in the church. They feel like they are sinking. They lose the people they love and they feel like they're getting drowned in sorrow. Or perhaps they are simply swamped with all of the little duties and difficulties of daily life. We all pass through heavy seas of trouble. As the Apostle Peter said, that same Peter who was with Jesus in the boat, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." And often the danger comes the way that it came at Galilee, suddenly and unexpectedly. There the disciples were, sailing across the lake without any sign of difficulty, and they never imagined that just in a short time they would be fighting for their very lives. And the same thing can happen to us. Well, the seas of daily experience may generally be relatively calm, and yet they are subject to being swept by sudden storms. And like the disciples were, we find ourselves in a situation that we thought we could handle, but then very unexpectedly we're afraid of drowning. And it is then, most of all, that we endure the testing of our soul. Now, what should we do when trouble comes? How should we react and respond to times of difficulty and danger, whether physical or spiritual? Well, when the disciples found themselves in danger, and the Bible says that they were in danger, they cried out for Jesus to save them. You see their words in verse 24. They went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Now, there was a kind of spiritual problem with this response, and we'll see that in a moment, but at least the disciples knew where to get help. Now, whenever we're in danger of drowning, or think we are, we should cry out to Jesus. You see, in every stormy squall, even to the point of death itself, we are able to call upon Jesus. And as we call to him, he is able and willing to help us, as the disciples discovered. And in times of trouble, there's no one better to call on than Jesus, because no one is better equipped to save us. And so when the disciples cried out to him, Jesus awoke and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. The disciples were all in confusion, but Jesus was still fully composed. Very calmly and simply by the word of his power, Jesus told the storm to be still. He was not only the master of the disciples, but also their captain, the captain of the waves and the storm and all the deadly power of the sea. And understand that this was a genuine and immediate miracle. One moment the disciples were almost drowning in heavy seas, and the next moment they were floating serenely on the smooth surface of the Galilee. The storm ceased. The sea was calm. And there was no merely natural explanation for this. One commentator calls it a mysterious supernatural calm that testified to the sovereign power of Jesus, and also to the deep peace and security that belong to those who follow him. Jesus delivered his disciples, as he delivers anyone who calls to him in faith, and he delivered them by the divine power of his mighty word. Now, what was as important as all of that was what happened afterwards. And you'll notice from verse 25 that in the stillness after the storm, two very crucial questions were posed. The first was a question that Jesus asked, and it's one that we all need to answer about ourselves. Where is your faith? And the second was a question that the disciples asked, and it's one that everyone needs to answer about Jesus. Who is this man? Well, the question that Jesus asked, where is your faith, was really a rebuke, wasn't it? It was a gentle rebuke, but it was a rebuke nonetheless. The obvious implication was that the disciples were not really trusting in Jesus. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, points out a sort of irony here. The storm didn't wake Jesus, but the unbelief of his disciples sure did. And that was a concern to him. He wanted to confront that spiritually. Now, you have to admit that the disciples cried out to Jesus for help. We've seen that was the right thing to do, but there was something rather desperate about the way that they did it. You know, the boat was not the only thing getting swamped that day. The fear of the disciples was swamping their faith. They were only looking at the danger. They were forgetting that they were safe with Jesus. They only asked for help as a last resort. And when they did, they were frantic, almost hysterical. Rather than trusting God to save them, they immediately assumed the worst. We're dying, they said. Their assumption was that Jesus didn't know and didn't care about their situation, and how often we do what the disciples did, immediately assuming the very worst will happen. So we can sympathize with them in their lack of faith, can't we? In fact, most of us can probably empathize with them. It's only natural to be afraid of death. It's easy to panic in a crisis. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the winds and the waves of life's trouble. And here we need to go back to the beginning of this episode, where Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." You see, the disciples were in the storm because Jesus himself had called them out into the lake. He was in control of this whole sequence of events. He took his disciples across the lake where the storm would burst upon them. And understand that having a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't mean that somehow we will escape all of life's troubles. On the contrary, Christians suffer the same natural disasters, the same daily difficulties, the same sinful abuse, the same misfortunes of all kinds as everyone else. In fact, sometimes knowing Jesus takes us right into the storm, especially if in some way we are suffering for our faith. We can still be in the center of God's will, as people sometimes say, and yet still be in the center of the storm, as the disciples discovered. Now, this doesn't mean that God is always the cause of our suffering. Sometimes we're suffering because of the sins of others or because of our own sins. God can never be the author of evil. But it does mean that our sufferings never catch God by surprise. He always knows when we are headed for stormy troubles. And sometimes, in order to accomplish his work in our lives, he even guides us into them. It was certainly true in this case, where Jesus was the one who told the disciples to cross the lake. And ultimately, in the plan of God, this was for the testing of their faith and the training of their souls. Now, you may say, it's hard for me to thank God for the storms, and yet isn't it a good thing to be shown your emptiness and weakness, to be drawn to the throne of grace, to long for heaven? These are the kinds of things that God accomplishes through the troubles of life. And as we go through them, we pray that God will use those troubles for spiritual gain. One of the most surprising things about this episode, and really it has to surprise you every time you read it, no matter how familiar you are with this story, is that somehow Jesus managed to sleep his way through most of it. On his cushion, Mark tells us in his account. And surely this testifies to the true humanity of Jesus Christ. To stay asleep in such a storm, he must have been completely exhausted. No doubt he was weary from the heavy demands of his teaching ministry. He was worn out by the constant demand to help people. And here was a man who badly needed a nap. So badly that he could sleep anywhere, through anything. And to see Jesus asleep in the boat like this is to know that he had a real human body with all of its weakness. And it is also to know this, that he had complete confidence in his Father's loving care. How was it that Jesus was able to rest during such a violent storm? Well, partly because of his fatigue, I suppose, but also because of his faith. If he had felt the need to save his own life, he undoubtedly would have awakened when the first wave crashed into the boat. You know, there's a way to sleep and still remain alert. But Jesus was sleeping as if he didn't have a care in the world. And in a way, he didn't, because he was resting in the love of his Father, and deep down he knew that his Father would wake him if he needed to be awakened. And so when Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" he was challenging his disciples to live with that same kind of trust, to rest in their Father's care. And you see, Jesus is calling you to live with that same kind of faith, knowing that God is in control, resting in that knowledge of his control, absolutely. And so often we feel like we need to stay alert for every danger. And so we fret over our finances, we're afraid of what might happen to our children, we agonize over situations at work. These and many other concerns keep us awake at night. And somehow we go through life knowing that God is in control and yet feeling like we need to keep an eye on things just to be safe. And how quickly that becomes completely exhausting, as if we could look after everything for ourselves. You see, we do not rest in our Father's care the way that Jesus did. And that's a great reason to trust in God. You have the example of Jesus Christ himself resting in his Father's care. But there is a third reason to trust, and I suppose it's the most comforting one of all. And that's because Jesus is with us in the boat. He is with us in the boat. And the first thing that Luke tells us here in verse 22 is that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples. And in a way, that was all of the reassurance that they or anyone else would need. Jesus was with them. He was with them as they sailed across the lake. He was with them as the wind began to rise and the waves crashed into the boat. He was with them when they cried for help. Why then were they so afraid? That's what Jesus wanted to know. Where is your faith? I am here with you. Whenever we feel like we're drowning, we need to ask ourselves, now what difference would it make in this situation if I were really trusting in Jesus? How would I be responding to this circumstance if I believed that Jesus was in this boat with me and knowing that he is able to save me? Or to put it very simply, we should say to ourselves, where is your faith? That's the question that Jesus asked his disciples, and he asked it because he knew that they had every reason to trust in him. And of course, we have all the more reason. We've seen his love in the cross. We've experienced the power of his resurrection life as he is working to transform us. We've been given the Holy Spirit to stay with us wherever we go. And so when the storms come, we have all the more reason to trust in Jesus and to know that he will bring us safely to the shore. Now, for their part, The disciples also had a question. It's a question about the true identity of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, notice verse 25, that the disciples were afraid when they saw that the sea was calm, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Well, it's interesting. The disciples had been afraid of the storm. Now the storm was over. They were still afraid, maybe even more afraid of the calm. Not because they thought that Jesus would harm them, of course. He had just saved them, but because they were in awe of what he had done. He had just proven that he was even more powerful than the mightiest storm at sea. And this overwhelmed the disciples with feelings of reverent fear and transcendent awe. It also made them wonder who Jesus really was after all. And I think probably this is really the main point of the passage. Remember, the goal of Luke's gospel is to bring us to that point where we become more certain about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And here in chapter 8, I think the disciples are really raising the central question of the whole gospel. Who is this Jesus? And ironically, they also provide the answer. At least it seems that way to me, although they don't seem fully to have recognized it themselves. Notice what they say. He commands even winds and water, and they obey him. Who do you suppose that could be? A command is, I think, just the word to use for it here. Luke tells us that Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. That he spoke to the storm as if he had authority over it, and apparently he did, because the storm did what he commanded. Now, who do you suppose has the right to speak that way to the sea? Well, it seems to have been kind of a stumper for the disciples, but it's pretty obvious to anyone who reads Luke's gospel, Jesus is God. His miracle on the Sea of Galilee was proof positive of his divine nature and omnipotent deity. We get clear testimony about that in various places in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is the Creator God. And so just to give one example, the Apostle Paul tells us that by him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. And so when Jesus calmed the storm, he was claiming the right to rule the world that he had made. Creation's creator is also creation's Lord. And the disciples were witnessing that when their master stood up in the boat and rebuked the sea. So let me just ask you, who is this Jesus? He is the Lord of the storm, the ruler of nature, the God of all creation. And this same Jesus, who has the power to save, is calling you to trust in him through all of the winds and the waves of every storm in life. Now, Jesus Christ has saved us through his death on the cross and through his resurrection from the grave. He has promised to be with us in every difficult situation in life. He's sovereign over all of life's troubles. And now he is on board with us until at last he will receive us unto himself into the everlasting love of his Father. And it is with such a hope in mind that the Lord Jesus himself says to us, "Where is your faith?" Father, we pray that you would find faith in us by the work of your Holy Spirit. Father, bring us to a deeper trust of your grace. Help us in every stormy and difficult situation to live by faith. Help us to see clearly that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God the Son, that he is our Savior from sin, and that he is our helper in trouble. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
You're listening to Every Last Word with Bible teacher Dr. Philip Ryken. Trouble will come into our lives just as it came upon the disciples in the boat that day. The Israelites were another group that was battered by the storms of life. We have a message from Dr. Ryken that talks about what the Israelites did when they faced trouble. Call 1-800-488-1888 to receive your free CD message entitled, When Trouble Comes. You can also purchase the entire series called Let My People Go. We'll give you 20% off when you buy the whole series. So call us today at 1-800-488-1888. We'd like to say a very special thank you from Every Last Word to all who faithfully support our ministry. Without your partnership, we would not be able to carry on the preaching of God's Word. So thank you for allowing others across the United States to listen to sermons grounded in the Scriptures. If you don't currently support Every Last Word and would like to, please call us at 1-800-488-1888 to give a tax-deductible donation. Or you can give online at everylastword.org. We need more faithful supporters and one-time donations to continue airing this program. And don't forget to ask for your free CD, When Trouble Comes, when you call us at 1-800-488-1888. I'm Mark Daniels. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next time to see Jesus single-handedly drown a whole herd of pigs right here on Every Last Word, teaching the whole Bible to change your whole life.